And we're live on Blog Talk Radio for Georgia State Panther Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York, joining you once again a little early today, but a lot of stuff I want to get into, and I'll make sure I have time to do that. So we jumped on a little early, got the early permission. Glad we did. There's some fun things. There has been some developments, especially as far as the Turner Field property. I will get to that shortly, and also we will preview the University of Louisiana Monroe will be in town this weekend to take on your, and mine, Georgia State Panthers, 2 p.m. start on that. We will get into that here in a minute. But first, name of tonight's show, of course, is Return to Sender. And why is it Return to Sender? Because that game last Thursday, I think we want to take that one back. Can we send that one back? Maybe get a do-over. And mainly it has a lot to do with special teams, but it is a team contest, so can't put the blame on just one person, which we can't. Team effort, all the stuff like that. There were times the offense could have made better plays. There was times the defense could have made a couple plays, although not many, honestly. But overall score, Arkansas State, the Red Wolves were able to pick up the victory 31-16. Let's talk a little bit about it. Kyler Neal was back. He had two runs, including one that was a 35-yard run, and then he re-injured his high ankle sprain and missed the rest of the game. He is doing better. We're able to get a couple updates on that. So, wish Kyler the best, and it was good to see him back on the field, but, I hated that he got hurt again. We all did. Also, the speed attack of Trey Barnett, DeMarcus Kirk, and Glenn Smith. Wow. Trey Barnett may be one of the fastest human beings I have ever seen. You blink and you miss him. I mean, he had a kick return for 90 yards for a touchdown. It was just insane. He didn't need much of a seam. He was gone. He's definitely another reason, a lot of people thought, well, with Penny Hart, where it's going to be that speed and explosion, look, it's still there. It's definitely still there. Todd Boyd and Robert Davis with some solid days, averaging 8 catches and 87 yards apiece. Keith Rucker caught the touchdown. I mean, we got the right people involved. We were getting the playmakers that were in the game involved. Ultimately, and Coach will talk a little more about that. Actually, let's go straight to Coach Miles from the press conference on the overall play and ultimately what he thought led to the loss and the downfall.
Very disappointing special teams performance tonight. I think our defense, again, rose to the occasion and played well. But when you give up a blocked field goal to take the lead at the half for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown, a bad snap on a punt that led to a touchdown deep in our own territory, a blocked extra point. We didn't give ourselves a chance, to win the football game because of our own miscues in the special teams. And I can't really.
Exactly. And like he said, we have an extra point that's blocked. So let's add that point. Let's say that we would add 17, right? Okay, you're like, well, we still lost by 14. Well, there was a field goal that was blocked and returned for a touchdown. There's another 7. So that would have made it 24-17. They would have still won there. But then there was the punt return, ran back for a touchdown. So, we would have been looking 17-17, possibly into overtime, possibly a chance to win it late. Things happen. I can't blame the special teams all the way around. But I felt like there were different parts all throughout the night that we could have – we made some other choices, made some other things, and I really think this team was still better, and it was good. Connor Manning was back. Connor returned. Aaron Winchester, we found out from Coach later in the press conference that Aaron Winchester was actually injured in the last play versus South Alabama. He had a ankle-related injury, I believe. So Connor was back and starting. Didn't quite look 100% to me, but he was good enough to go. He could still sling the ball. Man, he was just knocked around a lot, especially late. There were times when the fact that he got up, I mean, he might have a future in pro wrestling. He took some shots. There were a handful of drops, some overthrows, but very few. It's something he's really worked on and getting on the same page with these receivers. And, you know, just overall it was good coverage, so it was very hard to find people down the field. We were having to settle for the smaller yardage, and it just didn't quite pan out. Now, Connor did look a lot better when he was rolling out, when he was able to roll out from the pocket. He was able to get some good stuff. And I told you about Todd Boyd's day, and let's get what Todd had to say on how important it was to get Connor back in the lineup.
Just get back to our regular offense, get back to throwing the ball.
Exactly. That simple. Todd didn't need to elaborate. We knew exactly what he meant there. Back to the normal offense, the one they've been running most of the year. Not that they don't like Aaron, but it's a different style game because of the different set of skills he has. So having Connor back there able to throw the ball more, especially to Todd Boyd, he enjoys that more because he's going to get involved and try to make plays. You know, even the defense had, you know, Michael Shaw ended up with 7 total tackles on and he had 2 tackles for a loss. They actually ended up being sacks. And when talking to Michael Shaw, he spoke about how the defense has been persevering and preventing points, and then that's followed up by me asking his thoughts during a potential sack.
The defense feels great because even though we put in those situations, adversity comes, we still want to do our best we can to hold them to any points at all. It doesn't matter. We still control how many points we put on the board. So even if it's a field goal, we still want to try to block it and make sure they don't make it.
And what goes through your mind when you're able to, you know, get past the offensive lineman and you see you got a chance to make a play on the quarterback?
First, try to get the ball, try to have a hand up, try to knock it down, and then make sure I get him on the ground.
There you go. He's going for the strip sack more than he is the straight up sack. It's not just about punishing a quarterback, which any defender would say that that's part of what the game plan. It's about trying to cause the turnover. And I think Coach Miles does a fantastic job of coaching these guys up and getting them to believe in things like that. The wide receivers did have a good day, but they were hit a lot after the catch. A lot of times they would stretch out to try to make the play, and in the process just get hammered. A couple of them got nicked and cut and dinged up a little bit. Actually, Todd Boyd talked about he felt a little bruised and knocked around a little bit, but he would be fine. The special teams breakdown, you know, I got into the blocked extra point, the blocked field goal return for a touchdown, and the punt return for a touchdown. You know, we did the math on that. It's a part that hasn't really been a big issue this year, but we had a hiccup game. You can't win them all. I think they're going to really work on that in practice. They have been working on that in practice, and I don't think that we're going to see those same miscues as Coach referenced this weekend. Defense, spectacular, as I said, as usual. The other big name, of course, was Shawanye Lawrence, who ended up with 7 tackles and a sack, tackle for a loss himself. Now, we asked Shawanye about the overall locker room vibe and kind of, you know, what's going on in the locker room after the loss.
Well, everybody on our team, we're all believers, you know. We just continue to believe. We know there's going to be ups and downs during games. All throughout games, so we just got to stay the course. You can't never get too high or get too low.
There you go. Shawanye mapping out exactly the Coach Miles mantra, basically that, hey, we got to stay even, got to stay here. You can get excited, but you don't want to bring it too high, but you don't want to get too low. You always bring yourself up. You try to stay on a level playing field, stay consistent. That consistency, I think, is really the true testament to this program. I mean, we did lose 31-16. That makes us 2-7 on the year with 3 to play. We're still about winning ball games here. You guys know that. We're still about winning ball games. Now, Adu, as we're going to get into, previewing the University of Louisiana Monroe. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of their big numbers, some of their bigger guys. Now, their best wide receiver. They got Marcus Green. They got a Jalen Holly, R.J. Turner, Xavier Brown, and Trey Perrier. These are the main yardage getters. They really eat up a lot of the catches, and they have a lot of the touchdowns with Marcus Green, R.J. Turner, and Xavier Brown accounting for 11 of the 15 total they have in the air. Now, who's throwing the ball to them? Well, for the most part, that's Garrett Smith, who in six games he's 103 for 179. He's thrown seven interceptions. Happens. There's some pretty good defenses in the Sun Belt. And they also played Auburn and Oklahoma, I believe. So that could account for some of them. He is a 57% passer. He has thrown 1,237 yards, nine touchdowns, including a 73-yard play. He averages about 206 a game. Now, they also have Caleb Evans, who has played in four games, and Will Collins, who has played in six. They are roughly about, Caleb is a 64% passer. Will is a 47. It's kind of hard to say because they've played very limited snaps. But Caleb has thrown four touchdowns, and Will has thrown two. As far as on the rush side, the overall top three runners they have, Ben Luckett, Garrett Smith, of course, the quarterback, and Duke Carter. Garrett can run a little bit when he needs to. He's the second leading rusher on here. Ben Luckett has 421 and five touchdowns. Garrett Smith, 308 and three touchdowns. You got Duke Carter with 253 and one. And actually, Thomas Kufi actually has four rushing touchdowns. So he might be the goal line guy. We're going to have to really pay attention to him. Let's go to the defense. Your big defensive players for UL Monroe, David Griffith. This guy is a monster. He has 67 total tackles, two-thirds of which are him alone. He has 10 tackles for a loss. He has three sacks, two pass breakups, and a forced fumble. Yeah, all by himself. They also have, who else has some sacks on here? Chase Day, Trey Hunter, Caleb Tucker, and Donald Lewis all have two apiece. A handful of other guys have one. As far as the pass breakups, you got to look out for Justin Backus. He has nine pass breakups. Steven Omoko has six. Juwan Ofre has five. That's 9 and 11. That's 20 between three players. Only people that could rival them, I believe, is Bobby Baker and Chandon Sullivan, Jerome Smith, all the ones we have, Brian Williams. They have forced six fumbles. They're pretty good defense. They play some tough competition, so it's hard to look at their numbers otherwise, but they're going to bring it. And then overall, some things I think, just a couple weekends ago during the Halloween weekend, I was able to spend some time with one of my little nephews. Not that little. He's 12. But not a big football fan. Hasn't really been raised. He was raised out west, not on a farm or anything, but he's raised out west. So now that he's out this way, I was teaching him how to read a stat sheet as I was looking over the game a couple weekends ago. And I showed him some of the things to really pay attention to. So now I'm going to kind of do the same for you guys. Some of you guys know this. If you don't, if you're ever looking at a stat sheet, and maybe I'll post a stat sheet so that I can outline exactly what I'm talking about. You look at things like first downs. Well, UL Monroe has had 186 first downs. They're pretty balanced between rushing and passing, and they actually have 12 from penalty. So They have rushed for 1,571 total yards. They have passed for almost 2,000. With most of their touchdowns, they're pretty balanced, you know, 14 rushing touchdowns, 15 passing. The main things I like to look at to really gauge a team is time of possession, which they have done 29 minutes and 51 seconds is what they average. It's pretty good. Remember, it's, what, four 15-minute quarters or 12-minute quarters, rather. Either way. No, 15, I think. Let's see, what is it? Oh, third down conversions. They are 62. They have converted 62 of 145 third down conversions. That's good for 4%. Fourth down conversions, they are 50% at 8 and 16. So, you know, if our defense is able to take them to a third or a fourth down, kind of a coin flip is if they get it. Now, I'd like that to be a little lower, but, you know, that is what it is, and I trust our defense. So I think if we could push them to those third downs and fourth downs, that we're going to be able to really contain them. And the last stat, red zone scores and red zone touchdowns. They have been to, UL Monroe has been to the red zone 28 times. Of those 28, 22 of them, they scored points with at 79%. Of those 22 scores, 17 were touchdowns, so the other five were field goals, but that is a 61% there, and they have only missed one extra point. Pretty big. Remember, we did have the one block. They did get some pretty good attendance as well. Now, let's talk a little bit about our Georgia State Panthers. The leading rusher currently is Kyler Neal, who hopefully will be back this week. I have not heard anything either direction, but if not, then I feel like we have Darius Stubbs and Kendrick Dorn, Glenn Smith, Trey Barnett, DeMarcus Kirk. Those, you know, a lot of guys that can throw some runs in there. But Kyler has 239 total rush yards. He has two rush touchdowns. We have 6 different people who have rushed for a touchdown. Besides Kyler, that is Aaron Winchester, Stubbs, Dorn, Glenn Smith, Kirk, and Connor Manning actually has one as well. Now, as far as passing, Connor Manning in the 7 games he has played, he is 145 for 267 with 9 interceptions. That is good for 54%. 1,678 yards. He is poised for hopefully a 2,000-yard season. That is not bad at all. His longest touchdown or his longest pass is of 65 yards. He's averaging 239.7 yards per game in the air, and he has thrown for 9 touchdowns. Aaron Winchester in 4 games, 24 for 45, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown. He's a 53% passer, 271 yards, and his longest pass play being 43 yards. Now, obviously we know the usual suspects because I say them all the time that we throw to, but let's go over a few. Robert Davis, 666 yards.
Wow.
49 total catches. He is averaging 13.6 per catch. That's a lot. He has 3 touchdowns. Todd Boyd, 33 catches, 352. He is averaging 10.7 per catch. He has a touchdown. Glenn Smith has a receiving touchdown. He has 25 catches, 340. He's the guy at the backfield for sure. Keith Rucker with another solid season, 21 catches, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ari Wirtz, the other great tight end. We need to get Bill Technet back as well because we're so deep at that position. It'd be great to see a 3 tight end set. But Ari has 2 touchdowns. He has 200 yards, 13 catches. He is averaging 15.4 yards per catch. The only guy that is anywhere close to him is Devin Gentry. He has 1 catch for 15 yards. That is a 15-yard average. And Penny Hart, before getting hurt, caught a touchdown as well. Now, as far as interceptions for our team, because I'm about to get into the defense, you have Trey Payne and Michael Shaw, who both have one apiece. Then Jerome Smith, Chandon Sullivan, and B.J. Clay all have 3 apiece. So that's 11 total, 9 of which is between 3 players. And I think they're going to have a lot more before it's over with. The only fumble return we've had is for a touchdown where Martarius Allen, just a couple weeks ago, was able to return that in from 23 yards out. Now, let's talk about that defense. I was just talking about him a little bit. Our leading tackler is Alonzo McGee. He has 75. He has 3 tackles for a loss and 2 sacks. He also has a pass breakup and a quarterback hit. And also has forced a fumble and recovered one. Bobby Baker, 59 total tackles, 3 pass breakups, and 2 fumble recoveries. Michael Shaw with 55 tackles. He has 7 tackles for a loss, 2 of which are recorded sacks. He has the interception and a forced fumble. We've got a lot of guys forced fumbles. In fact, McKenzie Cheridor has forced 2. Our overall sack leader right now is McKenzie Cheridor, who has 2.5. We also have Chase Middleton. It seems like each and every week we hear Chase's name. Actually, we hear Middleton said a lot more during games. This guy is really evolving into just a defensive nightmare for the other team, and it's been fantastic to kind of watch that transformation. Now, I want to talk about some of the stats for Georgia State, some of the things we are looking at. And I told you guys, first downs, we have 146, we have 50 rushing, we have 84 passing, we have 12 from penalty. Something we share in common with UL Monroe. We've rushed for 845 total yards, and we have 8 rushing touchdowns. We've passed for almost 2,000 yards, 1949 to be exact. We're averaging 216 a game. We have 10 passing touchdowns. Time of possession, we have it for 25 minutes and 36 seconds. That's still not bad at all. Third down conversions, we're working on this. 47 for 128, 37 total percent. We need to get that a little higher. Fourth down conversions, we've only went for it 11 times. We've done that 3 times. It's good for 27%. A lot of times we don't go for it on fourth down because the opportunity is not right. There's a thing about being not so aggressive, and I like that. In the red zone, in the 19 times we've been to the red zone, we have scored 18 times for 95% overall percentage. We are 63% in scoring touchdowns when we get in the red zone because 12 of those 18 have been touchdowns. We have only missed the 1 point after attempt, and that was the one that was blocked, and I like our chances. I'm going to give you the 3 keys to the game. I'm going to tell you the development of Turner Field, and we're going to go on our merry way tonight. 3 keys to the game. Well, based off what I'm seeing, spread the ball around early and attack aggressively. And I want to pressure early. I want to create chaos, which I believe is what Coach Miles and Coach Minner refer to the defense as sometimes, is one that creates chaos. I definitely want them to create chaos early and try to get the interceptions or the fumbles or, you know, the sacks early. Really want to put pressure on these guys and let them know we came to play. And then third, I just want to minimize the miscues. Like Coach said, you can't really call them mental breakdowns or anything like that, because that would imply that they don't know what they're doing. They do know what they're doing. Just didn't work out. The miscues, just sometimes the ball doesn't bounce. There's a reason why it's oblong and the reason why it's not round, and that's because you get some crazy bounces, and so far this season it's just like we haven't got it to bounce our way. But we just got to keep digging hard. I know Coach Miles is going to have these guys ready to go, but if we can avoid the miscues, especially on special teams, then I think those are the 3 ways we're going to beat UL Monroe, and I'm predicting it. Absolutely. We don't know what we're going to do live Facebook wise on Saturday. We'll take questions and suggestions. All that, you guys know how to find us. Moving on. Like I said, I think we're going to win number 3. I think there's a good chance we're going to win number 4 next week. And then all bets are off for the finale against Idaho. But I really think we can beat UL Monroe. I think that they haven't seen anything like us. and I don't think they will again. And I just think that we really match up really well. Now, the recent development of the Turner Field property and Georgia State's acquisition of it. The Board of Regents, just earlier today, good to know that the Army has our back, and salute to all people of service, past, present, or even think about it in the future. We definitely appreciate your service. But the Board of Regents, just earlier today, in fact, there may be more information on it there. Can we? Thanks. Okay, let me know if that develops. Okay. The Board of Regents, just earlier today, and the school released an official website detailing the plans that include the detailed drawings for the future football facilities. Now, you can go to, I think, GeorgiaStateSports.com for more. You can also go to GeorgiaState.247Sports.com, and they'll have it on there as well. Ben did a good job of getting that up for 24/7. Now, according to the university's plan, Georgia State's portion of the project of the project reached nearly $53 million, including $47.8 million from Georgia State's own account. I mean, they're footing a lot of the bill here, so it's not like they're giving them the property or anything like that. It's a lot of money in it, but it's going to look nice. I've seen a lot of the drawings. You guys should definitely check out what the rest of these are. Let's see. There's a timeline of the overall construction and conversion that they're going to try to do in early 2017 so that GSU can play football in the fall. And most importantly, all the funding for this project is not going to come from new student fee money, tuition dollars, or state funding. It's going to initially open with 23,000 seats, and they're going to eventually add about 10,000 more in a second phase. It's going to be fantastic. Like I said, you guys have definitely got to check out these drawings. These drawings are absolutely amazing, and definitely go check it out. Definitely want to see you guys at the games. I drop by the blue light right before I go in. I get there bright and early. You guys get there bright and early. Get the tailgate set up. There's always a band playing on the stage. Make sure to get there early. If you see me, say hello. If you see me at the game, same thing goes. You take a picture of me, send it to any of our accounts, and we'll send you some swag. But that's going to do it for us this week. Remember, we're going to win this weekend against ULM in the Dome, 2 o'clock start. Make sure you get there early. Tailgate, have some great time. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us right here on GSU Panther Zone on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media. We'll see you guys next week. Go Panthers! Just confess, your girl admits that we the shit. F-R-E-S-H, we fresh. G-E-F, that's right, we different. We definite. B-E-T, we reppin' it. So, turn me up.
Champions live and direct, rocking the scene. Breaking on down for the B-boys and B-girls, we're in the do they thing. Pump it, louder, come on, don't stop, and keep me going, do it. Let's get it on, move it.
Come on, baby, do it.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam!